Welcome to Running on Indy. I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
On today's episode, we have elite race walker Melissa Moeller. We're going to learn all about race walking, and we're going to learn about her fantastic achievements.
This episode of Running on Indy is brought to you by the 361 Running Shoes with all new Spire 3. It's a high mileage trainer powered by Quick Foam. Check out the all new 361 Spire at your local run specialty store, or if you live in Indianapolis, Indiana, come to the Runners Forum and check out the shoes.
All right. You're getting really good at that. It's a long-winded one.
It is.
So let's jump into race walking. Melissa, a lot of people don't know anything about race walking. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I have actually had to study the sport of race walking because so few people have heard about it. But it has been an Olympic sport since 1904, so it's been around for a long time. Generally, it started called pedestrianism. It was like when people had their stage coaches, they had their footman that would open the door for them.
Okay.
And they started having like one footman race the other one. And then people started betting on it. So after the Civil War, it was the second most popular betting sport.
Really?
Right after horse racing.
And he had to be like the stagecoach guy to do it, or could anybody do it?
Well, I don't know exactly what time period they had stagecoaches and walkers going, but definitely in the 1890s, the pedestrianism had become a sport where you're racing for 24 hours or from city to city or 7 days straight. And I guess the energy drink of the time was champagne.
It's a very highbrow sport.
They kind of go for the bang with doing the craziest thing they can think of so that it has more mass appeal and people are like, this is ridiculous. People actually do this, or the body can do this.
Yeah. I know like steeplechase, the origins were like it was a horse event and they're like, let's see if people can do this and then jump over barriers in water. So it's kind of like something like they did as a lark and they're just like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's been kind of a testament to just how far you can push the human body.
And yeah.
It's related to steeplechase in a lot of ways because steeplechase is just far enough that it's an endurance event.
Yeah.
And it's just short enough that it's still a high speed event. And then you throw in all the obstacles, so there's a lot of technique. And race walking is exactly the same. You have to have a perfect technique, so it's a highly skill-developed field.
Yeah.
And then they're racing anywhere from 1 mile to 50K. And that is, I believe, the longest event contested in the Olympics is the 50K.
Yeah.
Can you,
just for
detail,
people that haven't seen it,
that people who do not know what race walking is or the correct form, can you go into detail and exactly how your foot is supposed to hit, where it's supposed to hit? Just kind of describe it as best you can.
Yeah, how it's different than running.
Mm-hmm. I would say it is hard to imagine just hearing it in a podcast, so I'd recommend go to YouTube, just look up race walking. You'll get a lot of interesting people to look at doing it. But so the rules are 1 foot is always on the ground. So as your other foot is striking the ground, it's going to strike with your heel first and your knee is straight. Then you're going to pass your leg under your body. So you're going to go from heel to toe, keeping your knee straight that entire time. And then your other leg can finally move forward. So as long as 1 foot's always on the ground and it's always straight while it's on the ground. The misconception is people think they're not ever allowed to bend their knee. You're allowed to bend your knee when you pick it up off of the ground.
Just when it hits, it has to be straight.
Yes.
Okay. And then the part where people might like kind of poke fun at a little bit is the hip action that kind of goes on when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Blakes of the world.
So yeah, there's a lot of hip action when you're doing race walking. Is that like actually hard on your hips, or is that something you get used to?
It feels pretty good, and it's a good sport to get into, especially as you get older. And most people get into it because they have stress fractures from distance running.
Okay.
Because running, you're hitting with like 3 times your body weight.
Yeah.
Race walking, you're hitting with 1.5 times your body weight. So okay. It's far lower impact. It's something that's much more maintainable over long distances.
I know there are judges, which is unique to race walking compared to running. So what are the judges looking for when you race walk?
So there are two primary rules to race walking, and one is that you always have one foot on the ground, so a loss of contact would indicate running, or your knee has to be straight as your foot strikes the ground, and uh-huh. then has to remain straight until it passes under your body.
Okay.
Jesus.
Wow. And I heard you were telling us earlier before we started the show that you got a little angry at some judges at USA's recently.
It wasn't necessarily getting angry at the judges.
But by yourself.
It's that I had never had an issue with getting penalties before. And so they'll show you a yellow paddle if they're thinking you're not looking right. Like it looks like you're lifting off the ground or it looks like you're having a bent knee. They'll warn you first. And within my first few laps, I had gotten three paddles. And I just thought, this is really bizarre. I never get warnings. And I was like, it's probably just like nerves. I went out too fast. I was too excited, but I fell back into a rhythm. And then I got red card came up on the board. And once you get three red cards, normally you're disqualified. However, they have inducted a new discipline or a new rule to it, where if you get three red cards, you're then brought into a penalty box. And it felt, I'm assuming, I haven't played hockey, but it seemed like how it would feel being in a hockey penalty box.
Oh, man.
Because I stood there and it was like being in prison. It was those little 2-inch cones. And I was just like,
So they make you stop
move.
And you have to like, mm-hmm. and then how much time do you have to spend in the penalty box?
I had to serve 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a pretty hefty fine.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to walk around, you're allowed to stretch, but you're not allowed to take water or food. You can talk to your coach. But then they stand in front of you and count down from 10 and then they step aside and I shot out like a bullet again.
Yeah.
But then immediately I had to remind myself, if I get one more red card, I'm gone.
Oh,
so
wow.
Then I had to just really play it safe for the whole last 5 miles.
And this was a 20K, right?
Mm-hmm. 20K on the track.
Oh, man.
So that was
so how much, so you got 2 minutes. How much did you lose by?
8 seconds to fourth place.
Oh, man.
So if you hadn't had that penalty, what place would that have put you?
In fourth place.
Fourth place.
It would have just been a very solid no man's land.
But you ended up fifth place in the USA Championships. That's mm-hmm. pretty impressive.
So. Yeah, I was aiming for top five from the beginning.
Yeah.
So it...
Well, there you go.
It was just
even with the 2-minute penalty, you still got it.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. and then, so how does the Olympic, like, I'm... When are the Olympic trials for the speed walking?
Well, for the 50K, which up until last year had only been a men's event, they're uh-huh. now starting to give women the opportunity to race a
50K. Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah.
So whether or not the women will have a 50K in 2020 is still a little up in the air. But the 50K trials are in Santee, California in January of 2020. And then the 20K trials... I'm not sure where they'll be yet. They were uh-huh. going to be in LA, but there's been an issue with the stadium, so
okay.
they're going to move it. But that's just contested in late June.
Okay. So they do the 20K and the 50K at two different times.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that they just wouldn't do it at the same place at the same time.
So you could qualify for both?
Theoretically, you could.
Okay. Yeah.
Whether or not you'd want to race a 20K and a 50K in
yeah.
the same Olympic time is
yeah,
really
no kidding.
Rough.
Man, I've watched some of this in the Olympics. I always find it fascinating to watch. And I've seen people, like, literally in that 50K just be walking, like, crazy fast. And then they're just, like, turn, and just run into a wall or something and go down. It's, like, it seems pretty brutal.
It definitely is. And Brazil was tough because of the weather conditions. They were in pretty hot conditions. I don't think they did it in the real early morning or anything.
Yeah.
But... It's a lot of it goes back to holding that specific form
mm-hmm.
and running. It's you can kind of adjust. You kind of get a little sloppy sometimes when you get tired. When you get tired race walking, you can't afford to get sloppy. You still have to have like the discipline and control to keep it together.
Yeah. And how did you get into race walking?
My dad got me into it.
Okay.
He has a lot of eccentric ideas. So my older sister had developed shin splints in high school.
Okay.
We were all basically sprinters and jumpers growing up. But after she developed those, he had read that like power walking builds up the shin muscles. So I was the only one that was brave enough to try it. I was probably young enough that I think I was like 9 or 10 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't worried about looking weird. I just thought I'd do this with my dad. And then kind of just found out through doing AAU and USATF summer track that I was fairly good at it, that I was picking up on it.
Yeah.
But initially I was just power walking, and there's a clear difference between the real technique and just walking as fast as you can.
Yeah.
So we bought a VHS tape, which is how far back this dates, but I learned to walk from, I think it was called Walk Like a Champion. And after one time watching that tape, I could just kind of imitate it. So.
Wow. That's crazy.
So for the record, going back a little bit, when you're talking about how it was predominantly a male sport, it kind of needs you just to stick with the females, because those males, I'm not going to lie, when I watch those males, I'm just like, there is no way a man's body should be able to torque like that. No way. It just looks so painful.
Hey.
But when females do it, I'm like, okay, they kind of look sexy, but
then
you got the males, and they're just like, they're shifting back and I mean, it looks like their hips are going out of place.
It's an athletic sport, man. It's not about being sexy.
I'm just saying it when a male does it, it looks like their hips are really popping out of place, and we're not meant to have the hips.
Blake, full disclosure, I have considered speed walking before.
I would pay to watch you do that.
I think I would enjoy it. It looks really hard.
But, yeah.
I mean, I give all the credit. I mean, it looks really hard.
Oh, yeah. My God, it looks painful.
Like, I would want to, like,
oh, yeah.
At some point, do you ever think, like, I just want to run?
I always get asked that question.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the answer is no, just because I've been doing it since I was so young.
Yeah.
And for me, distance running never came naturally. It was always the sprints. So race walking a 5K was 10 times easier than running a 5K.
Yeah.
But I think it looks maybe better on women because it's very reminiscent of dancing.
Yes.
You get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
If that rhythm breaks, you just want to collapse at that point.
I was gonna say, I bet you're probably a pretty good dancer if you can do that. Because
I'm awful.
Same kind of... If you win the gold, maybe they'll bring you on Dance with the Stars.
I'm gonna do some race walking so you can make fun of me.
I'm not making fun of them. Okay, I'm making fun of men. But what I'm saying, but the women are awesome doing it. Yeah, but it looks painful. It just really does. But
yeah.
So kind of touch on the shoes a little bit. Are there like specifically like we have racing flats, or do you guys have like certain shoes and they made certain ways or?
I believe there is at least one developer that's working on a very specific racewalk shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have a little more stiffer sole to it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, right now, everyone just uses the running flats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I fit several racewalkers, a lot of times just want like a low profile that bends well. Or does the flexibility matter? Would you prefer like one that doesn't bend versus more bend?
Or I'd have to experiment.
Yeah. What do you currently use?
For racing, I use New Balance. I think they're New Balance 1400s.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I've always been kind of a, quote, dumber athlete where
mm-hmm.
I race Little Five in college, and they want to, like, put that bicycle to every perfect millimeter. And
yeah.
For me, I was like, just put, as long as it has two wheels, like, I'll ride it.
And yeah, and don't think about
shoes,
how
it goes
technical.
On my feet. Yeah. I'll deal with it.
We got to get her some, I bet she like Chaser 2s.
Or the Face 2s, man. They're kind of flexible.
I bet Face 2 or the Chaser, about.
Well, speaking of 361 shoes, we can do our next
one. Yeah. This episode of Running on Indy is brought to you by 361 Degrees Running Shoes. And we're talking about maybe getting Melissa some Chasers or maybe some Face 2s. They're like just really like flats.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Chasers is more like a little bit more cushion. The Face 2s are like there's nothing to them. It's
like, just like a straight profile.
Flat. Yeah.
But yeah, the lighter weight, the better.
Yeah, maybe the Face 2s. Yeah. That's how you say it. That is how you say it, right?
We don't know.
I think that's right.
I'm pronouncing it Face 2, but mm-hmm. it could be Fusu. It could mm-hmm. be.
No, I think it's space suit. It's okay. Probably right. It's
very close to the other word if you think about it. But.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know.
But no, we don't know. No one's ever came out and said.
No, they did tell me one time, but I just can't remember. Okay.
All right.
But anyway, we're terrible for not knowing.
So Melissa, I got some questions. So, mm-hmm. you know, when anybody that, you know, trains for, they got their goal race, you know, whatever, whether it be a marathon or half marathon or Olympic trials, whatever, is there, how often do you race and how often is it hard to find race, walking races? Or do you just jump in a 5K and say, I'm going to walk this?
I definitely jump in a 5K and say I'm going to walk this. It happens a lot. I just go on my own honor system.
Yeah.
That I'm going for my own time, so I'm not tempted to run because I'm never not be able to do it in a judged event. But it is more difficult to find judged events in Indiana, and they do have race walking as a sport in NAIA competition, so NCAA hasn't recognized it, but. If you can find the track season for the colleges, local colleges like Marion is NAIA or Goshen up in northern Indiana, they're open events. So you could race walk and be judged and get feedback. So if you wanted to get into it, I would mm-hmm. say get into a shorter race first. You would never want to race a 20K.
Right out of the bat?
Yeah, never been judged. And
yeah, we used to actually...
God, I want to see you do it.
I'm going to do it at some point. I want to do a race walking. But I was Division II, and at conference, we did have race walking at our mm-hmm. conference meet. There was like one school specifically that always had people, Wisconsin Parkside. They had a pretty good race walking team.
Yeah,
so.
They have a pretty good history of it.
Yeah. So
as far as like getting the younger athletes into it, I'm sure the high schools, they don't have that, do they? Or is there clubs they can join? Like, how would somebody that wants to get into a younger child wants to, I don't want to get into race walking. How would they get into that?
It's something that I'm trying to collaborate with the USATF Indiana committee with about getting more youth involved in race walking. Unfortunately, it's not a high school sport in Indiana, which is why so few people know about it or have experience with it. Maine and New York are basically the only two states that acknowledge high school race walking. So their number of people involved are far higher. But a lot of people get involved in college. They go to an NAIA school and then they can pick it up there. But until Indiana recognizes it a little bit better, and it is a sport that's allowed in Indiana high school track and field. So if the home hosting team wants to add it to the lineup of events, they can do that, but it wouldn't be a state contested event. So a lot of it is just doing stuff like this podcast where more people know it exists. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I would love if anyone reached out to me. I would, you know, talk to you about it, give you lessons, or at least generally teach you the form in the first place.
Put the plug out there, girl. So,
yeah. How do they get a hold of you, Melissa?
Yeah,
how do
if anyone is interested, you can email me, melissamoeller90@gmail.com. Will you guys have my name spelled out somewhere where they can?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
it'll be on the... We promote all that.
Yeah, it'll be on the podcast. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah. She's going to give me lessons, and I'm going to race walk, make the Olympic team.
Make sure you post a video.
And it's because it's a sport that people like laugh at all the time. Uh-huh. No one ever thinks about getting.
I think it's
try.
Cool, actually. I'm not even kidding. I
I'm
watch it.
Laughing at the men, okay.
Every time it's at the Olympics,
I'm not laughing at you.
I like the men races too, actually.
I just laugh.
It's
cruel.
It looks so.
It looks
grueling.
Brutal.
It looks so brutal.
It looks like
I've never seen people wipe out so hard in any. Running event that except race walking people.
It's
just
funny
go
you say that
down.
About the wiping out thing because when I watched it, like I think it was the last Olympics I watched it.
It looks so hard.
They pick like you touched on it. They pick the hottest part of the day to do these things.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
High, yeah.
Like, they just it looks like the sun's beating down on them, and like you said, they'll just.
You guys get to take water and nutrition during the race, right?
Yes, we have aid stations, so. That was the interesting thing at USA's this year was previously you could have whoever was available to hand you your water, your Gatorade, whatever you chose. And then the day before we raced, we were notified that we had to have a coaching certified official person to hand it to us. And it's like, where am I going to find someone on short notice?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the track and I didn't have anybody. I just had to have them assign me someone.
Yeah.
So it was an unneeded stressor the day of the race. But we do have aid stations, and depending on how big the course is, it's usually on the road and it's a 1K loop.
Okay.
But this year was on the track. So we got it every 400 meters, but you might only get it every 1K with a free water station.
And can you explain why they do loop courses?
It's easier for judges to see you.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to be able to watch your form multiple times in one lap. So that's one of the hard things about those road courses, is that you just do a U-turn on a street, which completely slows you down and you have to,
mm-hmm.
you know, ramp up your speed from zero on the corner. Or in the United States, they tend to judge you on the corner,
mm-hmm.
which is dangerous and you have to slow down. And I've heard, I haven't raced European circuits or anything, but I've heard in Europe they don't judge you on the turn.
Oh, okay.
In a race walking, what is your common injury that people come across that you see?
I would want to say hamstrings mostly.
Mm-hmm.
With running, you get to use your quads as a main power group to propel forward, and race walking has almost no quad activation at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just that little bit of picking your foot up off the ground. So what you're doing is you're asking your glutes and your hamstrings to be your primary movers, and normally they're secondary movers.
Mm.
And then, of course, honestly, race walkers have incredible calves because the entire motion is springing off your toe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you do have big calves. Like, pretty, compared to us,
yeah.
They're more defined.
Yeah, they are. I have small calves.
Yeah, Blake has the world's tiniest calves.
They're
for a
Kenyan
man.
Calves, man.
Well, and I know that bodybuilders get really insecure about mm-hmm. putting weight on their calves, so mm-hmm. try race mm-hmm. walking, honestly. You might
yeah.
think you're going to look a little goofy, but you'll finally get that calf mass that you're
definition,
for.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, after the podcast, and we can videotape this, I want you to show me and Jesse the form, and I want us to race in the parking lot for like just up, just for a just.
I think me and
distance.
You are probably going to get DQ'd.
No, I want us to show it, and I want to race you from like one to the other side of the parking lot. I just want to see
who would win.
Yeah, who would win,
oh,
and
I'll
who's got the better
you.
Form.
I'll kill you.
And honestly, that's something that I would do with cycling teammates after races, is mm-hmm. we would hold impromptu race walking.
Oh, yeah. So. We're, all right. We'll definitely do this. We'll post this, too.
If I beat you, I'm switching to race walking.
I don't know. If you beat Melissa, maybe you should switch to race walking.
Messing with her.
I don't know if you beat me. I don't know if that says much. what was I going to ask? I lost my train of thought.
When's your next competition?
Yeah, there you go.
That one is up in the air. So if I had finished in the top three at USA's, they had an international competition coming up, I believe, in Canada.
Okay.
But I think that was going to be North and South America contesting,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge deal because while race walking is not very popular in America, it is like the NFL of South America.
Really?
Race walking is very highly respected in
wow.
South America, in Mexico. And recently, China and Russia have been
yes,
really good.
Yes,
but unfortunately,
I was going to ask you.
Russia has been... Yeah, they were doping for race walking as
yep.
well.
Really?
Yeah, they were. Because
no
I remember,
wait,
like...
What do? You shoot up in your calves? And what do you do?
I don't know what they were doing.
But, yeah, shoot up in your calves. I think it's, like, probably EPO, like, normal
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, every Olympics I do fantasy Olympic track and field, and I always pick a race walker as, like, one of my teammates for it. Just because, like...
Card.
Yeah, a wild card. Usually, I was picking Russians, and then... I always had a policy, like, if you got busted later, then it doesn't count. We have to retro do the score. And then the Russians got busted. So
has the Kenyans jumped into the race walking scene?
I am not sure. I don't think
I haven't seen them.
They haven't been at the top of the list anyway. Mm-hmm. but
there's always one from Valparaiso that takes all the money.
She's from Valparaiso.
Oh,
that was a joke. I thought you were making a reference.
I was. There's a guy that lives in Indiana's in Valparaiso. Yeah, that takes all the money.
Yeah, he comes to many every year and wins the Indiana.
And he's from Valparaiso, yeah. So I say he's the Kenyan from Valparaiso.
I thought you were making a Valparaiso reference with her.
I did not know. Well, yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was a joke.
For the remainder of the year, there's a 30K national championship, mm-hmm. a 40K national championship, a 1 hour national championship, and then the 50K is in January, which my entire life I have said I never want to do a 50K. I believe the women have the right to the equality with the 50K, but I have no desire to be the one doing it.
Just so everybody knows, 50K is 31 miles, so.
but I'm at the crazy point where I just might try to go for it. So right now I'm trying to talk to a lot of people to see if that's the right move to make.
Yeah. So
do you feel like you're better as the distance gets longer, or are you more of a speedier?
I'm intimidated by distance just because mm-hmm. my background is sprinting and jumping.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised at how quickly I adapted to the 20K, because I jumped into that for the 2016 Olympic trials. I trained for, I think, 9 or 10 months and finished 5th at the Olympic trials. So endurance is something you can build up. Speed is something that's a lot harder to do.
Do you think you can make the Olympic team in 2020?
Knock on wood, I'd like to.
Yeah. I mean, you're right there.
I got to get my doctorate and my real job. Yeah,
and what do you, and you're what are you studying for? Physical therapy?
Yes, I'm trying to get my doctor of physical therapy degree at IUPUI.
So when Melissa was talking about like hamstrings and quads and all that stuff, she actually is coming from like an educated background. So
if you made the Olympic team, you're coming back on the podcast.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't go anywhere before this. No newspaper interviews or anything.
No, straight to running on
the
Indy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you make the Olympic team, we'll do a special podcast where we call it Walking on Indy.
All the three people out there that watch us, listen to us.
Oh, I'm gonna plug it. We're gonna get it on social media.
Oh yeah. Episode 19, and you said you have listened to the show before you came in, right?
Yes, I had. I haven't listened to all other 18 podcasts, but I've listened to at least 3 or 4.
Yes.
Good. So, she knows what kind of she's getting into when she sits down with me. Then.
Oh, yeah. Good. So we got our second guest in a row who has actually listened to the podcast before they came in.
That is 2 listeners.
Yeah, we're getting big time.
I know. So I do have a question. What was I going to ask? So when you're racing, right, you mentioned the yellow flags for caution mm-hmm. type thing. I guess kind of like racing.
I love that they have a penalty box now, kind of. I think that's cool. Entertaining.
It was the night before the race was the men's, and I was watching them, and I was like, I don't like that penalty box. You know, 3 strikes and you're out. That's just the rule.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, oh, I actually like that idea. And the next day I was like, thank God for the penalty
box. Yeah, because you would have been out, yeah.
Well, also, too, if you're in medal contention and you get the penalty box and your other ones don't, you're out of it anyways, as far as the medal.
I've watched the Olympic race walking, I've seen people just get they were winning the race and get kicked out. Mm-hmm. So
and they have to have 3 judges in the last 100 meters so that you can't just bust out running at the very end. And it's one event, it's extra dramatic because you can be disqualified after you finish. Mm-hmm. So you could finish the entire 20K, 50K, and then
they messed up. Wow.
So I do have a question, though. So this is just me trying to cheat, but... No, because if you get so many mess-ups, right, so that means the difference between running and race walking is running is you can pick both feet off the ground, right?
Well, you have a bent knee when you land.
Right. That's going to give you an advantage, right? Well, if they give you so many mess-ups, why not take those mess-ups to the full advantage and just not do it enough to, you know, spread them out?
Well, that's so like that just gonna, one gonna, stride is a mess-up, though.
But I'm
and you
saying,
get like
but,
3
but,
strides that you mess up, that's not much. That's not an advantage.
Yeah, it is. Like, if she's walking and I'm running, right, mm-hmm. and I run a little bit, and then, boom, I go back to my thing, and then I run a little bit and do another
no,
thing, I'm
going
to be
like,
ahead.
It's messing up is not like running a little bit. That's like landing one time with your bent knee. That's messing up.
You see what I'm asking.
I see what you're saying, like jog a little bit. And
I think you'd be disqualified by the time
Yeah, you'd be disqualified.
Like in 3 steps, you're done. You'd be in the penalty box.
No, because she, not was an like, advantage. She was like, caution. So it's like, just take the cautions because it's going to give you somewhat of an advantage.
Oh, no, they don't have to give you a caution before they give you a red card.
Oh, they don't have to?
No. And they don't, okay. They don't tell you when they give it to you either. You just have to watch. It's usually a dry erase board. You just have to watch the board every time you pass it to see if you've been given a penalty or not.
Yeah. I actually encourage people to actually YouTube this. I think it's exciting. If you like the,
it's interesting.
I think the finishes too when they're close and people are like busting ass to get in.
Now, funny story though, like it was just last Olympics, mm-hmm. we were talking about it, race walking, because mm-hmm. you literally told me, I think I may try to make the Olympics.
I keep thinking about it.
He said it. He
like
said
there's
it before.
One guy that makes it. I think like I don't know. It seems like it. I think last Olympics like one guy made it. Or did they have a full team?
For the USA?
For men's.
Yeah, USA only one man, I think, qualified for the 50K.
Yeah.
And I don't think any qualified in the 20K last year.
Yeah.
Like
so I was like...
Well, I mean, go for it.
It may be my best chance to make the Olympics, honestly. I mean, I don't know if I could do it or not, but...
The Galen Rupp of race
walking. If you say I can make the Olympics, I'm in.
So I didn't look up the qualifying standard for the Olympics.
I'm not saying I can do it. I always think that I can do these things, but if I could, go ahead.
I checked out the pace breakdown for the gold medalists, and for 50K, you're going just under 7-minute splits for 31 miles, and the 20K, you're doing like 6:05 pace for a gold medal in a 20K.
I'm glad you actually brought that
up.
That's
crazy.
Because I think that's going to like put a little bit of this in perspective. 6:05 pace for 20K, and you said just under 7-minute pace.
Yep, for the 50.
Yeah, 99% of the country, world can't run a 6-minute mile.
And can you tell, like, just for the audience, I'm glad you brought this up. Like, what was your 20K that you got fifth? Like, what pace was that?
I was doing about 8:20 or 8:21 pace.
8:20, yeah, 8:21 pace for 20K walking. And then, like, what is, like, one of your best, like, you've done a half marathon race walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your best half marathon?
The only half marathon. Oh, I guess I did one this year, but it was after my finals week, so that was a poor timing on my part. That was the Indy Mini. But I did the Indy Women's Mini Marathon last year, and I think I was under 8:20 pace there,
and
by a whole lot.
Were you like under 2 hours roughly?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I was in the top.
That's
100
like 153, 152.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
wow.
So that's really impressive.
You should do the Monumental.
And this is all
I'm
walking.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking doing a marathon, which again was something I never
the
thought
lead
I'd
into
ever
the
want
50K.
To do.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, to trial it.
It's not much different, like because I've run 50K and I've run marathon. It's not much different, really. Like, if you can do the marathon, like, the 50K, it's almost the same thing.
At least
from a running perspective, I don't know.
I imagine it's a gargantuan mental task.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So. And nutrition becomes more of a factor, for mm-hmm. sure.
So, this is a joke, but not really. When I first moved here in 2009, you know, you've heard of NIFS, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I used to go to NIFS, and that's where I would run or whatever. Anyways, there was this, it's kind of a two-parter. There was this lady there. She was an Oriental lady, and she...
Teresa Ammerman.
She was younger.
Yes.
I was about to get to that.
She was a race walker, yeah.
She was fast.
She was really
so
fast.
So my question for you, which you just answered, do all you race walkers, like, we all know all the runners, who's good, you guys know all who's good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say at the elite level, I know who's who going into things. I think a lot of the top people only know each other. They're the only ones they're concerned with.
Yeah.
They're not so much concerned with like the people who are finishing 8, 9, 10 or something. But in Indiana, we had the Indiana Race Walkers used to be a huge group. It was probably a partnership with Tuxedo Brothers, but they put on a lot of events with money payout. So they got a lot of competitive people to show up from out of state.
I do remember that, actually.
And I had heard that they had a race around Thanksgiving that they'd have $500 in money purse to hand out for race walking. So they would get really good people to come in and had a huge club. And it has just kind of it dwindled over the years. And mm-hmm. I joined at the tail end of it. But I was on a national team with Teresa. We went to the 5K championships and Indiana won.
She was fast.
Man, I know. And she was good.
Is she still around?
She has moved to Georgia.
I'm married. I can talk like that. No, I always thought she was really good looking.
I was shaking my head.
This is before I was married. Okay, I can talk. No, I used to see her walking around there, and she was so fast. I was like, hey, she's good looking too.
And I go to NIFS now, and I actually do have a couple of people who have come up to me, and. Mm-hmm. Granted, they're almost always older gentlemen. Mm-hmm. So all of the college kids that use the gym, I'm assuming either think I'm an injured runner, a really terrible runner, or just that weird girl.
With the weird form.
Yeah. I had one woman came up to me while I was doing drills getting ready for a workout. And she said, you know, I think you could go a lot faster if you just bend your knees. And I had to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm walking. Like, I'm not allowed to bend my knees. But
yeah, so that totally defeats the whole purpose of everything.
You know, this is another kind of... it's funny. The reason why I'm joking with her is because I read some of your stuff, and you laugh and joke at it, race walking too. It's funny. I think you said some kind of quote.
It is a funny sport. I totally respect it, but yes, like if you watch it, it can be humorous. Mm. But I totally respect it. I think it's grueling.
Yeah, you said you had a post or something about slow runners go to the face weight. Something you said.
I was working I think it was the sectional high school state meet. Mm-hmm. I was helping run the long jump because that's always what I did when I was in high school, and. One of my former coaches was there and was asking how my race walk training was going. And one of the other parents that was there overheard me, and she's like, oh, what's your event? And I said, the 20K race walk. And she said, oh, race walk. Yeah, that's the event we put all the fat, slow kids in.
Oh, that's man.
And that's first brutal. Thought was, I can't believe you said that to my face.
That's so brutal.
She said that straight up. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I don't think she had any clue that. You know, why would you say that when the person in front of you, it's like
it's
something
a race
that they
walker.
Care about.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, I don't want to, you know, discriminate or anything, but man, the older generation, like the older, you know, the grandmas and stuff, man, they can roll with that. I see a lot of them at NIFS, and
yeah,
like,
we have a lot that come in. There's several women that come in to the store that are older, and they are moving.
Yeah, there's one lady. She said that I talked to her. She said that she's won like her age group at nationals for the masters thing, like for the last 10 years. Like, I mean, they're they are serious too. I mean, they're taking it like dead serious.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
It's tough stuff.
Well, what she said, Melissa said earlier that. As you get older, it's a little bit, it could be easier on the body compared to running. So that might be why some older people have taken up race walking. So,
but it's actually looking good on the youth front as well. And I love the fact that she's from Ohio because Ohio also doesn't have high school race walking.
Yeah.
But Taylor Ewart is from Beaver Creek, Ohio, and she is absolutely demolishing every national record that there is.
Oh, wow.
So
how old is she?
She's just finished her sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
So she's, I think, about 16 years old.
Wow.
And she's on the rise.
Well, that's good. Wow. That's what the sport needs. Yeah.
So who is the best right now in your event in the world that you have to go against?
Ooh, I don't know about the world.
What, America?
In America, it's Maria Mictacoffi. She's got, I think, 41 or 42 national titles under her belt.
Whoa.
She's just kind of been dominating it for the past decade.
What's your last name?
I want to say Mictacoffi.
Sounds kind of Russian to me.
Polish.
I'm Polish. I would question.
Yeah, maybe she needs to get tested.
Maybe get tested. Maybe right on that third.
Since we have got the 50K developing, we have Katie Burnett finished fourth at the World Championships in the 50K last year. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she came from a javelin background.
Wow. Really?
So,
and you had a field event background, too.
Yeah, it was long jump. So, honestly, you can come from any sport, any event, and you can pick up race walking just if you have the desire to try it. But predominantly, it's distance runners get into it with the stress fractures and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And
telling you, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it.
You would be the only sponsored athlete on 361 race walking.
I think I'm already the only ultra.
Are you? I think you are the only ultra.
Ultra athlete, so I can multi. multi-event.
Maybe 361 can start a race walking team.
Yeah,
there you go. Hit them up. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, good luck. I hope you we'll be pulling for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely, if you can make the Olympic team, we're going to bring you right back on. That'd be awesome.
If not, then definitely not. Just kidding.
You go ahead and do another plug.
Yeah. Well, I already did the second one, so you do that one.
Fine. Thanks to our sponsor, 361 Degrees, powered by QuickFoam. Check the 361 Performance Footwear at Runner's Form or your local specialty retailer store.
There you go.
So if you... Jesse, what you been running in lately as far as the 361 shoes go?
Well, I just actually ordered some Spire 3s. Okay. I want to try those out. I haven't tried them yet, but mostly Meraki. I raced poorly in the Chasers yesterday on 4th of July.
It was also hot. Like 1,000,000 degrees out there.
Yeah, I was like, I'm done after 2 miles. It was so bad.
I've been running in the Faceus, so I think that's going to be my half marathon shoe. Potentially marathon shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Potentially marathon shoe. So,
yeah.
Could it get me through a 50K? Is the question.
The Chasers. No,
I think the Chasers would.
Yeah.
Would you rather try it like a little bit more? I mean, it's pretty low profile.
The Faceus are like you're talking about. Like it's a racing nothing to.
I just race a marathon in the Chasers, and I mean it's really lightweight. It's low profile.
Do you train in them also?
Yeah, I'll train in them too. A workout, like a fast workout.
I wouldn't do anything over a half marathon in the Faceus. Well,
they're pretty.
Pretty
lightweight.
We'll
get you one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as training, we didn't touch on training at all. What do you do for training with race walking?
I imagine it's similar to what you do for a marathon or half marathon training. Since my goal has predominantly been 20K. I have one or two speed days a week, and that involves doing drills specific for race walking. I'll have a couple of cross-training runs during the week, but they're usually like on a two-a-day, and they're pretty short runs. I get to cross-train using the bike still, so that's something that I like, is I've got things that I enjoyed doing in the past that I don't have to give up, and they can be incorporated in still. And then I just kind of get a lot of middle distance, semi-long days, and then one really long day.
Would the elliptical machine be like our treadmill for you?
I think
that's a serious question.
I think because you pick up your knees so much on the elliptical, it's probably too exaggerated.
For a while, Blake was counting elliptical miles as running miles. So I was like,
I don't think Strava does that.
No. He was like, I did 90 miles this week, 9 of them on the elliptical. I'm like, no, you did 81 miles running. You do not count the count elliptical miles.
Well, what do you count then?
It's cross training. They don't count as running miles.
Well, Strava doesn't count walking miles as miles either.
Yeah,
so
I have to log
everything I do as a run.
Oh, well, that's a good point. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought of it.
Get on top of it.
Yeah.
Start recognizing race walking too.
Yeah,
let's start a campaign to get Strava to recognize race walking.
that's actually discriminatory. I don't like that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just get off.
Does Garmin recognize race walking?
I don't think so. I think it's the same. I do have a walking function on my watch, though. I think, it might be just on a treadmill walking, though. I don't know. But anyway.
So, training, you talked about training a little bit, because you're always working on form. And I know you said your dad knows a lot about it, but when you're out there doing it, do you have a coach or anybody or your dad that's kind of like watching you like they would watch you? Because you want to make sure you're not getting any bad habits.
I wish that I did, but almost everything I do is by myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I go home, I can usually talk somebody into riding a bike along with me, and then I don't have to carry my own food and water and stuff. But for the most part, maybe once a year, I have someone at a workout to watch me. And that's after this Nationals experience, I want to tweak my form a lot and focus on all those tiny details to go faster and not be having red cards in future races.
Yeah.
And I got an email this week from my trainer who gave me very, very specific details on what to do with my form, but there's no way that I can monitor it while I'm walking. So He's like, go X percentage with your front leg, and at this percentage point in your stride, move your second leg. And I'm like, I can't watch that.
I don't know.
You know, I know it's...
You would need someone to come with you and videotape pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going
to
say...
I have a GoPro if you need me to come out and bike with you.
you could go around Nifts or Carmel. Carmel's got a little track mm-hmm. in Monon Center. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. I guess that would be the only way you could get somebody to videotape you. That'd be
Do you try to practice more flat? Because I know your races are probably more flat courses.
Yeah, courses have to be flat. Otherwise, form is too compromised. It's compromised.
Yeah.
So we might get like a tiny gradual uphill or downhill, which you can surprisingly feel when you're racing hard. I like to just go around neighborhoods. So I've used the Monon a lot down here just for mm-hmm. convenience. But it also
it is
kind
gradually
of drives
uphill
me crazy.
And down, yeah.
Yeah, every way you go north is uphill. I have figured that out.
Oh, yeah. And you don't notice it until you're going hard. Mm-hmm. And then you totally notice the uphill. Mm-hmm. And then, what's harder, race walking uphill or downhill, as far as form?
It's harder to maintain form going downhill.
Okay.
It definitely hurts more going uphill.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just like running, I assume.
Yeah, Blake tries to do every workout going downhill, if he can.
Heck yeah!
if I have a tempo workout, I try to plan it that I'll go out up the Monon, and I'll turn around for the fastest part going downhill.
Oh, yeah,
exactly
that's totally what Blake does.
Heck yeah. When I meet Jesse, all right, Jesse, I got it planned out. If we jog to here, we can finish here, and we'll be going down.
Yeah, it's always south of the Monon, yeah, always. Yeah. And I was like, well, if we go do this route, it'll be slower, but we'll get hills and maybe get faster.
and I
the race walking's different, yeah.
I like to throw hills into it because I've got like a quotable runner book, and it's like hills are speed work in disguise.
So yes, yeah.
So it's good to throw them in. I don't like to do them on tempo specific runs.
Yeah.
I would say race walking trail, but then too many people cheat. You get it in the trail and.
Yeah, and I can't do anything on a trail because I would honestly trip and.
Yeah. Because you're not picking up your.
Yeah, I don't think it would work on race walking trail, but anything else you want to add that we missed and didn't touch on or.
Just, I would describe it as you have to have the foot turnover of an 800-meter runner with the mm-hmm. endurance of a marathoner.
Yes.
And then the skills of a field event, basically. Mm-hmm.
So. She just described me. I used to run the 800 in college.
You don't need a field event.
Right? I'm an endurance runner now. And I used to long jump. I was really good at the long jump in middle school.
I jumped
17 feet.
I beat you out of this parking lot.
Yeah, 17 feet in middle school. Oh. I was a sprinter, too.
See, you're gonna ruin his hopes and dreams because I'm gonna beat him out here.
No.
And then
we're totally YouTubing this. This will be perfect. We're gonna make a video, and then that's gonna be the lead up to this episode.
Yeah, that's what we can do. We can do a video after this. We'll video
Melissa's
her.
Melissa's gonna coach
it.
Us.
Oh, I'm serious. We're gonna video her out
no,
here doing it.
No, I'm serious
it.
Too.
And then she's gonna show us how to do it, and then we're gonna race. I'm gonna win, and then we're gonna move on.
All right.
We're gonna do.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to, you can build it across a couple of podcasts and start forming teams and allegiances.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Start getting some betting going because the history
this?
Of race walking is betting.
Yes.
How about this? We do a
team
video.
Team Blake versus Team Jesse.
This is what we do. We do a video showing how to do it. Then she shows how to do it. And then we race. But we do not post a video. And we say whoever picks the winner... It's a free pair of 361 shoes. And then we post a video.
Maybe. I don't know. How far are we racing? I feel like I could beat you at any distance.
Maybe like across the parking lot here.
No, I feel like I could beat you at any distance, but I'm just curious what you want to get beat at.
How long do you want to suffer before you beat
me? I'm actually... I
busted into what I thought was race walking in some runs before.
This is the thing, Jesse. I can dance. I got moves.
Oh, do
so,
you?
Yes.
Oh,
I can shag dance. I can uh-huh. dance. So I already got the hips.
Sure.
That you don't have.
Well, so. I'm just faster, so I don't know. Dancing versus faster.
Yeah. She just said dancing is more of a way than speed.
All right.
Don't get too caught up in your own speed. I've often thought I've gotten an imposter syndrome, and I'm like, man, if all the best distance runners just came over to race walking, I would be completely overshadowed.
Oh, I'm sure I get flagged and DQ'd.
All I'm saying is at our wedding, a little girl came up to me, and my wife can vouch for this. And says, you dance like Justin Timberlake. That's all I'm saying.
How much did you pay her?
I didn't pay her.
Your mom paid her $20 to say that.
So I'm ready.
It was your day, so your mom wanted to make you feel good. I've definitely never seen him dance like Justin Timberlake.
Well, apparently the little girl has.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll wrap this up.
Yep.
If you want to get into race walking, you want to know more about race walking, Melissa, once again, you want to give them your email. So
my email is my name, melissamoeller90@gmail.com.
Okay. And then her name will be on the podcast description. So so you know how to spell it and everything. Yeah. So
we thank you for coming, Melissa.
Yeah, that thank you awesome. So much for doing this.
I knew nothing about this at all today, and I didn't want to research it because I get a better understanding of it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I've watched
awesome.
A lot of race walking in the Olympics, so that's kind of my base knowledge.
I'm going to be paying attention now.
And yeah, I think it's awesome. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I've never seen people go down like race walkers when they go down. Holy shit.
Have you ever gone down?
I have not gone down.
Yeah.
I finish a race and I feel like I can't bend my knees at all.
Oh, yeah. Just,
you've had that.
It looks grueling. I mean, it looks so grueling by the end of that.
How long are you sore afterwards? Like a marathon, you're typically sore about a week.
It probably depends on the distance.
A few days, kind of.
Yeah.
But a lot of that, you have like those recovery runs and stuff built in right after to try to minimize the lactic acids.
Yeah. I bet the 50K would be more recovery for sure. But anyway, all right. That concludes our episode of Running on Indy. Make sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all Running on Indy. Check out our website, runningonindy.com. And anything
come
else?
See Village Recording
Studio. Oh yeah, Village
Brian.
Recording Studio. If you want to start a podcast like this, mm-hmm. It can be about anything.
Just not running related because that's ours.
Yeah, we've already started running, so don't do that. I would like to start listening to a really good knitting podcast if anybody's interested in knitting.
Yes.
Someone please come to Village Recording Studio and start a knitting podcast. Yes. Ryan would be enthralled.
Actually, I would love to start a Star Wars one. That would be pretty cool.
We could totally do...
We could do a spinoff, running on Indy / movie.
I can't believe we almost went a whole episode without talking about Blake's hatred for Star Wars.
Yes. But, you know, I'm good now because I think they're going to get rid of Kathleen Kennedy and I think they're going to move forward and they put all the Star Wars stuff on hold.
So Tom's telling me everybody's saying Solo's good.
And they're bringing Jar Jar Binks back, so you know.
Oh, here we go. Star Wars fan.
There's nothing they can do right now.
I heard Solo was actually decent.
I heard it was decent too, but I'm boycotting it.
All right. Even though it's good. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so I don't really.
I'm going to stream it whenever I can get it.
I'm more of a Marvel fan, but anyway, we're digressing. Yeah. This has nothing to do with race walking.
Yeah, so leave a comment below if you want to hear a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah. If you want to see Darth Vader speed walk.
Yes.
I'll get a costume and I'll speed walk in a Darth Vader. If someone sends me a Darth Vader costume.
I'm going to comment now that I would like to see that.
Yes. Someone sends me a Darth Vader costume. I'm not going to actually buy it. I will do a local 5K.
I would like to see you in a
speed
Speedo.
Walking.
In a Speedo doing that. That would be funny.
Why would you want to see me in a Speedo?
Because it would be funny.
Anyway, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
So remember, everybody, to keep running on in.